So here's a book title to look forward to in October: Smart Solutions to Climate Change, Comparing Costs and Benefits. It's out in October. Sounds a little boring, actually.
It does. It sounds like an accounting book.
Yeah, something like that. Bjorn Lomborg is the author of the book. Good morning, Bjorn.
Hey, good morning, John.
Did you consider calling the book Another Grenade from Bjorn Lomborg into the Environmental Debate?
Well, it certainly turned out that way, didn't it?
Well, you know, the question to you really is, you know, we talked this morning about the Middle East peace process, the talks that are beginning in Washington, and in a sense, there is a vested interest in kind of a stalemate. Analysts get paid, people write endlessly about Middle East peace and the peace process. It's a kind of an industry dedicated to keeping the situation as it is, but nothing really, really changes. Do you think there's a sort of industrial industry of climate change and the environment where there's lots of analysis, lots of research, but nothing ever changes?
Well, John, it's very clear that we're not doing anything against global warming. I mean, we've been talking about it for almost 20 years. We met in Rio, if you remember, back in 1992 and promised, oh, we're going to cut carbon emissions. And since then, we've had a string of failed deals. And of course, last year we met in my home country in Copenhagen and managed to do absolutely nothing. But the reason, I think, is not so much because people lack goodwill. It's simply because we're pursuing a very poor solution. We're essentially asking everybody to cut down on their carbon emissions, which, of course, is what powers everything we like, without having the technologies. That just ends up being expensive and will actually do very little good for climate.
Well,
that's why I'm so excited about this book.
Well, your views were certainly very popular on the Fox News Network, and people like Rajendra Pachaura, the chairman of the UN Climate Change Panel, compared you to Adolf Hitler as a result of your skepticism about consumer solutions. What do you make of the meeting that's taking place in Geneva today, talking about how we should fund measures needed to tackle climate change? More nothing? More of the sort of failed efforts that you've criticized in the past?
No, those talks could actually produce something that's reasonably good. I mean, they're well-intentioned and we'll probably end up spending some money fairly well. The real problem here, if I can just briefly outline it, is that we're not going to get anywhere in cutting carbon emissions unless we get better and cheaper technologies. I mean, take a look. Solar panels, you know, they cost perhaps 10 times as much as fossil fuels, which means a few well-meaning Westerners will put them up on their rooftops and feel very good about themselves, but we're not actually going to get the world off fossil fuels. That will only happen if we dramatically increase the efficiency of solar panels. That requires a lot of research and development, and that's why we asked some of the world's top climate economists, and yes, it is a slightly boring title, but it's an incredibly important point they make. They say don't make the failed sort of approaches that we've seen in Kyoto and Copenhagen. Instead, dramatically increase research and development into green energy technology, not just solar, but all the different technologies, because those are the ones that should be powering the rest of the 21st century, but that will only happen if they get much cheaper.
But Bjorn Lomborg, aren't people going to say, and people already have said, that you've kind of changed your tune a little bit here, that you're actually talking about investing in climate change when, in fact, to your credit and to very much your benefit, your controversial views got you a lot of attention. Now it's sort of hard for you to do that again, so you're basically coming around to the position that everyone else has taken.
Yes. That's certainly the take. I was on the cover of Guardian here, the British newspaper, a couple of days ago, and that was certainly the impression a lot of people were left with. I've got to say that was not at all what I tried to say, and I feel that much of the climate debate is so polarized. It's either global warming's not happening at all or it's the end of the world, that it's very hard to find the smart middle ground, which is what I've been saying all along. Global warming is real, it's man-made, it is important, but the way we're fixing it right now is incredibly poor. And so I don't actually think I've come around to what everybody else thinks, because most people are still saying, let's go down the road of Kyoto and Copenhagen. Yeah, it failed, it's failed for 18 years, but let's try again. I'm simply arguing, and along with some of the world's top climate economists, that there are much smarter ways. We should be funding research and development into green energy, because that will fundamentally and long-term fix climate change. So, no, I think I'm controversial enough. I don't actually have to flip-flop, and I haven't.
Well, now, hang on just a second. The reason why The Guardian called you the climate villain is because you've always acknowledged global warming is real and humans are the cause of it, but you also said the world had way more important things to worry about. And then let me have a quote from your new book in which you say it's undoubtedly one of the chief concerns facing the world today. I mean, the same UN climate chief, as John mentioned, that compared you to Adolf Hitler, now wrote a blurb for the book jacket of your book. If that's not a flip, I don't know what is.
Well, of course, I would actually tend to say that when Pichari compared me to Hitler a little unfortunately, it was because he had the very same reaction as most people have. Oh, no, if you're saying anything but the standard party line, you've got to be an evil person. And later on, we've met actually at several meetings, and much to surprise, we agree on a lot of things. We don't agree on everything, but certainly there is a much greater overlap. And so I think when I wrote that particular quote, you just said the chief concern, it was actually focused on saying a lot of people really worry about this, which I think is absolutely true.
All right, but Bjorn Lomborg,
not tackling it well.
One of the frustrations, though, and social change is never clean. It's always messy. It involves mistakes and that sort of thing. I think the chief frustration, though, of people with you and some others is that, you know, a lot of scientists are sort of bickering about who's Adolf Hitler, who's not. Al Gore making movies, or is he doing something constructive? When, in fact, what people really want to know is, what can I do? And you guys aren't answering that question by having these sorts of fights and arguing over these arcane statistics. And you're as much to blame as anyone else.
John, I absolutely agree with you. This is not about me or about anyone else. This is about smart solutions. And that's why I'm very happy that this book and this process, the Copenhagen Consensus on Climate, has actually produced smart new ways to tackle global warming. And to the extent that we're talking about them, that we're talking about, let's not do the Kyoto Protocol approach, but let's invest in research and development and also look at geoengineering and air capture and adaptation, some of those things that will actually help real people. Yes, I'm all for that. And then I don't really care whether people are going to say flip-flop and all that stuff. It matters. What are we actually going to do?
But you're not just saying, you're not just saying we got to spend more on research, just give it to me, are you?
No. I'm saying we should actually spend it really, really smartly through the processes that we already have in the U.S., the National Science Foundations. But we should recognize that right now, buying a lot of the ineffective technology like solar panels is an incredibly expensive way to look good. But buying researchers, actually having them look for smart new ways, using X prizes and using a lot of the modern incentive structures, we can get great value for our money.
All right.
And just to give you a brief sense, the economists tell us if we go down the Kyoto route, for every dollar we spend, we avoid a couple of cents of climate damage. That's a bad deal.
All right.
But for every dollar we spend on research, we avoid $11 of climate damage.
Bjorn Lomborg, his new book is Smart Solutions to Climate Change, Comparing Costs and Benefits. And I think it's fair to say he hopes it gets a more boring reception than his last book and a more sober debate on smart solutions to climate change. Bjorn Lomborg, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to talk to you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.